Meets theme song, Only the Lonely. It's hard to believe. I guess everyone has their moments of loneliness, but Bill Smead, fun-loving guy like you.
Yeah, the contrarian has to be lonely.
you got to zig when they zag. This is an interesting market. We're seeing correlation decline in the S&P 500 and presumably beyond that. I wonder what you're seeing in the stocks that you're looking at.
Well, let's pick up on what you were just talking about. 512,000 pace of home building.
You called it on this show. You said it was going to pick up, and it was going to pick up in size.
That would have been one of the worst numbers of the deepest recessions of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So it's almost hard to wrap your mind around what's going to go on here. A year and a half ago, household formation began to explode because people between 25 to 30 get married and form households. And then the people whose lives were stunted by the financial meltdown, those between 30 and 35, they are now doing between 30 and 35 what normal groups do between 25 and 30. It happens to be two of the three biggest five-year blocks of humans in the United States. So it's easy to think that in 5 years we'll be building 1.5 million new homes in the United States, and the lack of inventory on the existing home sales side is the number one reason. The average existing home is 42 years old, and 10% of those homes were built between 1975 and 80, when a boomer like me was were the people that were buying their first homes. So so therefore the ramifications for the debt markets, for example, if people want mortgages, it is going to drive the interest rate up on 10-year paper. And effectively, monetary policy will no longer be set by the Federal Reserve, will be set by millennials, as just one example. The second thing is, in the mix of where profits go in the S&P 500, is going to move from wanting to take advantage of the emerging middle class in emerging countries in China to the greatest emerging market of all, 86 million millennials between 20.5 and 39. So we're bottom-up stock pickers, but the overlay of that vision is going to have a huge impact. And it's not all good for stocks, because if you do get a rising 10-year rate, all of a sudden a 10-year bond at 5% would become competition for stocks. Price earnings ratios would likely compact a bit as rates rise, and the Federal Reserve would get away from being the central point of everyone's interest.
Just one more question about housing. Looking at that, the demographic shift that you're talking about there, is it one that you think will continue, that as this generation gets older, as the next generation comes along, that's going to be the trend? Folks are going to be buying houses later, or is this something really so closely tied to the crisis that we had a couple years back?
It's a great question. So I was speaking to a friend that's in the building business in Dallas, Texas, and he made a point to me that really, on top of a lot of houses needing to be built, you're talking about 30-year-old couples with their first child, 31, 32, 33, first child, buying a house for the first time at age 32, two people that graduated from college in many cases, two people that have good jobs with substantially larger net worth and income than first-time homebuyers had in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. So instead of the first house being that, you know, today's average home price for existing homes, $210,000. So the first-time buyer might buy a $150,000 house, or $280,000 is the average on new homes, and they'd buy a $220,000. You're talking about people that aren't going to be happy. They've been living in an apartment that cost them $2,000 or $3,000 a month.
$3,000, dude.
Well, that's I'm talking
San
about
Francisco, please.
Brooklyn.
Corey, you can't San Francisco and New York is here. I mean, those, you know, we live in Seattle. We're a freak town. You're a freak town. This is a freak town. The other 80% of the country lives in normality.
I'm going to say that we put the freak in a town even more than Seattle and New York. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying it's true.
We're very expensive places relative to the rest of the country. And you guys just hit on another thing. What happens if by the time you get the second child, people who work on computers and talk on phones for a living are going to decide that they don't need to live in that expensive, concentrated area?
Well, that's the kind of the real estate play around here. I talk to people, you know, the only way to benefit from the rising real estate prices if you're a homeowner around here is to move to the Midwest, is to go to Denver or something, because you can't sell here and take the profits from your house and buy something similar nearby, because it's nearby isn't nearby. I wonder how does that play through into the commercial real estate sector?
Boy,
we haven't seen that a lot.
Well, the institutional investor world, I'm just guessing, but what we know about the institutional investor world through, for example, the Nakubo study of the common fund of endowments is that they're heavily overweighted toward alternatives. 52% of their portfolio is in alternatives. One of those alternatives is real estate. And therefore, since only the lonely can play, 52% is not lonely in the slightest. So therefore, you would just kind of expect it not to be as good for commercial real estate as it was. Certainly in Seattle, they're building apartment complexes right now that by the time they're finished and 2 years into it, those people are going to want a house, and it's going to mess up the rental. What you should begin to see is by the time you get to 1 million housing starts in a single year, rents are going to struggle.
I totally agree. I happened to pass by a building yesterday, and I had 10 minutes to kill. There was an open house for a rental place, and I walked in. There was a two-bedroom, and they wanted – it was a fancy high-rise, but they wanted, I think, $6,500 for this two-bedroom. And, again, it was a fancy high-rise with amenities and pool and all that stuff. But I looked at the realtor and I said, you see those three buildings we're looking at out the window right now under construction that are rentals that are adding about, you know, 1,000 units there? There are two more on the block behind you. Like, you're not getting $6,500 for this apartment.
So let's connect this up to the stock market real quickly. So first of all, the three big banks that we own, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America, they have a disproportionately large part of the deposits, much greater share of the deposits than they did before the financial meltdown. And so they're going to do a lot of the lending to these millennials as that develops. And of course, higher 10-year rates versus the deposit rates will rise much slower, makes better spreads. The history of the banking business is they actually do better with higher rates. The second thing is the old media world will benefit greatly. I don't know why everybody worried about cord cutting. As soon as you form households, the first thing you have to do is sign up for high-speed access, and they're going to offer that to you with a cable package. And when you get a couple screaming kids and you're staying at home all the time, you want all the TV you could ever absorb.
Just wait 2 months for the guy to install it.
Bill Smith, always glad to have you on the show.